Welcome to Uber UK's Driver Podcast, Behind the Wheel, hosted by Tabrez Hussain, a Birmingham-based driver with over 10,000 trips. Every episode, Tabrez talks to Uber employees on the topics you care most about, answers some of your burning questions in true or false, and tells us some incredible stories from drivers as part of the Uber Kindness program. Enjoy today's episode. Happy listening and happy driving. Behind the Wheel from Uber UK.
Welcome to this month's episode of Behind the Wheel by Uber UK. I'm Tabrez. On this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Imtiaz. Imtiaz, who is the second driver to be on this show as I was the first. Imtiaz, how are you?
I'm great. I'm well.
Thank you for being part of this show. I hope you're ready to have some fun.
My pleasure. Yeah, I certainly am. The first time I've done a podcast, it'll be great.
And last but not least, I'm joined by Britt, who is part of the EV team, leader of the EV team, I believe. Is that correct?
It is correct.
It's nice to have you on this show. Just a quick insight of what you do.
Sure. So my name is Britt. I've been with Uber for about 4.5 years. I'm American, as you can probably tell by my accent, but have been in London almost the same amount of time.
What part of the States?
New York.
Okay.
Yeah, New York. So yeah, I've been with Uber 4.5 years, done a variety of roles during that time. Right now I'm leading our electrification efforts across the UK. So basically owning the program of everything to support drivers in their switch to electric vehicles. And previously, I did some work around kind of driving demand for some special products like Uber Reserve and our premium products.
Imtiaz, how long have you been with Uber?
I started driving with Uber in 2019. So it's been nearly 5 years now, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm in an EV from near enough day one.
You've always been EV?
Near enough, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's only probably a week or two that I wasn't in an EV. I just wanted to get to know Uber before I actually went into it.
Right.
But I've been into various different EV cars since then.
I think you're probably one of the few that started with Uber as an EV driver. I don't think there's many that I've come across.
Yeah, I think I'm probably one of the first, I think.
So you've been with Uber since 2019.
That's right.
And you're an EV ambassador here.
That's right, yeah. EV ambassador. I meet all the lovely big wigs from Uber and all over the world, actually, I think. You know, so meet the BP Pulse CEO and meet some of the Minsters and some of the other charging point CEOs as well. So it's quite nice, actually, to intermingle with a lot of people that you won't do in your normal daily lives.
How do you find it driving with Uber?
I find it great. I mean, I tell people that work smarter rather than harder.
Yeah.
Make your money. Don't sit around and do nothing. Don't twiddle your thumbs and you'll earn the money.
So Britt, moving on to you now. You lead the EV team. I drive a Toyota Prius, which is a hybrid. It's never let me down. From your perspective, why do you think I should think about switching to EV?
Yeah, I mean, very good question and something that's completely top of mind for us. So when we think about the benefits of switching to an EV, we need to think about the total cost of ownership over the lifetime of a vehicle, as opposed to just the upfront vehicle cost. We know that EVs are more expensive than other alternatives. They're newer. We do see those prices coming down, especially with used EVs being more available, et cetera. But it's really all about the savings and the running costs in your day-to-day once you actually have the EV that can make a big difference. So I'll talk about a few things. On the upfront cost side, we're trying to offer discounts with vehicle partners. So we work with dealerships, rental companies, et cetera, to get exclusive rates for Uber drivers to make it less expensive for them to switch. For example, we have a few big discounts that you can find on our Uber Vehicles Marketplace right now. You can get £12,000 off the price of a Hyundai Ioniq, as well as a Nissan Leaf. Yep. We also have some special deals available with Tesla right now. So drivers that purchase a Tesla can get 6,000 miles of supercharging free.
Are these available to all drivers across the UK?
They are, yes. Okay. Yes. So those are big benefits. There are some that are available depending on the area that you live in. So rental, for example, they're a bit more specific to what city you're in, but some of our purchase options, especially with dealerships, are available nationwide. And then, yeah, used EV is definitely a place to watch. We've done a big push with that recently with some of our partners offering more used EVs, which brings down that upfront cost. And then we are also working generally on making EVs a more affordable option. So for example, we just ran an incentive from October to January where if a driver switched to an EV, they could get £700. So you complete 450 trips after you switch to an EV, you get £700. We had over 3,000 drivers enroll in this incentive, and we're looking to do more creative incentives like that in the future.
If I can just add, it's not just about you've bought the car.
Yeah.
But if you think of it, it's like I have a Model Y Tesla.
Okay.
The Tesla will not need to be serviced until it tells me. It could be after 2 years, it could be after 3 years, you know. But, and look at the saving on that. You know, there's tons of savings to be made. If you also look at the price of energy at the moment, it's coming down. And if I could give you an example, I mean, I do just over 2,000 miles in a month.
Okay.
Do you know what my energy bill is? And I'll compare it with yours then, with your hybrid. I pay between £170, £175 a month. And that's with BP Pulse.
And the thing to call out there is MTAS is using public charging.
Mm.
If you have a home charger, or if you have the option of home charger, if you have a driveway, you can charge battery to full charge for as little as £6 if you have kind of the right charging tariff, depending on the energy provider you use. So the fact that MTAS can get those savings, even though he's using fully public charging, there are even further opportunities to save if you have the ability to home charge.
You said when you first started MTAS, you were in a petrol, I believe?
I was only for a few weeks, so it wasn't for long at all.
What was the biggest difference you found earnings, in terms of earnings?
I think it was just filling up, you know, that you're filling up every other day or
leaving a hole in your pocket.
That's right, yeah. So there was certainly a difference, you know.
Yeah.
But I can tell you in terms of pounds and pence how much it was, but certainly was a difference.
In terms of drive, I think if you guys were to ask me a question, why haven't I switched over just yet? My immediate answer would be charging, because I don't have a driveway and there's not many charging ports in Birmingham at the moment. Yeah, we're seeing more and more now, but there's still not enough.
Yeah, I'd say it's, you know, finding the solution that works for you. As you mentioned, you don't have home charging available. No. There are a lot of drivers that do. So if drivers can home charge, if they have a driveway, I would strongly consider an EV. If you can charge at home, there are some overnight tariffs where you can get 7p a kilowatt hour, which is like a £6 full charge, which is wild savings. So I would just say for those at home can home charge, it's a no-brainer. Definitely consider it. For those that can't, we understand, you know, charging infrastructure is changing. I think MTAS is an example of being able to figure out what works for you and people kind of find their patterns. We're also focused on making it easier for drivers through some product changes that we're making in the app. So for example, we've launched a charging map in app. So now you can navigate to chargers from your Uber driver app. We're also working on some special product features such as, you know, being able to connect your vehicle to the Uber app and letting the app know how much range you have left. So we won't give you trips that go beyond the range that you have available, which is a concern for a lot of drivers. We're also working towards some smart charging functionality, which can say, you have this much range left. It's, you know, not a busy time right now and we see some chargers near you. Now would be a good time to charge. So we're definitely working on making it easier for our drivers to kind of figure out what works for them. And then from a charging perspective, we're looking towards public charging partnerships to make sure that we can reduce the cost of charging for those that do have access. So for example, as you mentioned, charging with BP Pulse, we have an offer available nationwide right now to kind of offer best in market charging rates. So we're looking to solve that for drivers. I think the other point is around accessibility, availability of charging. We have a lot of data around where our drivers drive, we expect the demand to be. We are working on partnering with local governments to share our data to say, we know drivers drive in these areas. This is where they're going to need charging. Work on building them now. So we're trying to share data that will inform where that charging infrastructure is built. If it's not there now, hopefully it'll be there in the future.
One thing that was mentioned again on the EV conference, a few drivers were mentioning the TfL charging ports for the black cabs not being used. And obviously they can't go and charge there.
I would say this speaks to the importance of supportive policy.
Yeah.
So definitely working with governments and local authorities to be able to push for, you know, supportive policies for our drivers to make the switch. And I'd say there are definitely a few policies that have been beneficial. So for example, things like the congestion charge zone in central London, which EV drivers are exempt from paying, that's £15 a day they save, whereas other kind of ICE and hybrid drivers have to pay that. That is a very helpful policy in making that equation work for drivers. In Birmingham, for example, there's a clean air zone.
Yeah.
You can save £8 a day by driving an EV through there.
What's interesting to Brez is that we talk about charging points. If you go to the airports, and I think this is across the country now, you're getting a lot of these hubs that are coming in.
Yeah,
And they are really fantastic. So you drop off, you can go in for a cup of coffee or something while your car is being charged. So that is something that obviously the charging companies are looking into, and it's beneficial for them as well as for the drivers. I've been to Gatwick Airport recently a couple of times, and the GridServe actually opened up a beautiful little hub there. There's plenty of charging points. There's also Tesla charging points, believe it or not, there.
And the supercharger ones.
The supercharger ones, yeah. And they're cheaper than most other competitors. But inside, you go upstairs and you've got Costa Coffee. You've got Amazon. You can actually do leasing of cars from there. You've got a place to sit down. You've got free Wi-Fi. And it's what you want. It's not like going into your normal services at all. It's like a luxury five-star hotel you go in there, and it's fantastic.
So I'm from Birmingham, and I don't know nothing about Uber Green.
Uber Green, yeah. Very exciting product. It is live in various cities in the world, and I will admit it is not live in Birmingham yet. In the UK, it is live in London. It's an EV-only product. So
only in London at the moment?
Only in London, okay. Within the UK. We're definitely working on expanding outside of the UK, but as you can imagine, it requires a certain amount of drivers to have switched to an EV in order for us to launch. We know there are EV drivers in Birmingham, definitely, and we're working on making sure we can create a reliable product for riders there. But the whole concept of Uber Green is basically it's a way for riders to be able to request sustainable products. So riders pay the same price as UberX. We don't think that sustainable products should be more expensive, but drivers are paid 10% more versus UberX. So you're taking home more as an EV driver, even though the rider is paying the same amount. So ultimately, that's a way for us to, you know, channel demand for sustainable products, create awareness of EVs, and also increase driver earnings on EVs. We're also doing a bit around increasing rider awareness of these sustainable product options. We just launched something called Rider Emission Savings, which essentially quantifies you personally how much you've saved by choosing green trips. So I've looked in my app. I think I've taken, you know, 50 Uber Green trips and I've saved 250 grams of carbon. So really creating that mindset around how your individual choices create benefit for the environment. And ultimately, we hope that'll benefit our drivers by driving more demand towards EV.
On the customer app, where is green situated?
Well, it depends. So as you know, we have a lot of product options.
Yeah, you do.
We want drivers to be able to choose different products and be able to earn more depending on the type of car they drive. Green will be, you know, in the mini list depending on rider preferences. So if I've taken a green before, it should be somewhere in the top. Okay. And we want to drive awareness so that it is up in that top of that list more. As I mentioned, we know that green isn't available outside of London yet, but we do have other benefits that are available for the entire UK. So we have those vehicle discounts that we mentioned across dealerships, our charging partnerships, so discounts with BP Pulse, that's available nationwide. Also, there are some benefits like a lot of drivers don't know this. You don't pay road tax for an EV. That's nationwide. I'd also say some cities are doing some exciting things with grants. So for any of our Bradford drivers out there, there's a £10,000 EV grant available.
Wow.
I know that Manchester is talking about doing something similar. So definitely be plugged into what your local governments are doing. There's a push to go electric kind of across the board.
Just a quick question. Do all EVs come under Comfort?
No. So it depends on the product category. The reality is that a lot of the EVs that have come out to date are a bit more premium. So most of them are Comfort eligible, but we are seeing more low cost vehicles become available that would just be UberX and Green eligible. But right now I'd say the majority are eligible for Comfort, which is obviously higher earnings.
So I'm going to put both of you on the spot now. I want you each to give me one myth that you've heard.
Oh, there's so many myths, aren't they, MTS? We hear some interesting stuff from, you know, EVs exploding, which is not true, to all the things. I'd say some of the most common ones, or at least common worries, drivers are worried about, you know, the health of their battery, how long that's going to last. If they, you know, have a battery for X number of years, it's going to outlive their warranty. What's that mean for them? I'd say we definitely see a misconception there from Imtiaz himself and other drivers that we know. We've seen that their batteries have actually kept up kind of really close to the original range. And I think people don't understand that actually your batteries stay in really good shape, even if you drive a lot. And Imtiaz, we met another driver this week. I think he was driving
170,000 miles, and his battery, it's like the myth is that, or the misconception, I have to say, is that it's 170,000 miles. If you do the same on ice, the engine will actually wear down. So obviously there'll be some degradation, but it's not like what is out there. That's
not as dramatic as people make it out to be.
You might get like a 10% degradation, which is negligible when you think of it, you know, in the long run. But it's certainly one that it shouldn't be at top of the list. It should be around the bottom of the list.
What's one that you've heard then?
Is range.
Hot topic.
Range is you know, and then when you say, look, the newer EVs, they have ranges of 300 plus miles on one charge, you know, and think, oh, 300 miles, you know, then I can do more than sort of one day's work in it. But yeah, range is a big, big hot topic for a lot of drivers, you know, and when you tell them, well, 300 plus miles, how much work are you going to do? You can't do more than 10 hours on an Uber platform anyway.
Has there ever been a point where you're really low and you've got to go charge? And how long does it actually take before you can come back on the road?
Okay, because of the rapid chargers now, the 50 kilowatts or the 100 feet or superchargers, and depending on where you are, you don't have to stay half an hour anymore. You can stay for 10, 15 minutes, you know, and be on the road again.
And that's sufficient.
That's sufficient because you're probably near the end of your shift anyway, because you've done most of it anyway. So you now want to get probably home, I presume, you know, rather than do another shift.
I think one thing I'll take from what you've just said is you can have a full charge and there's no way you're using that in a whole day.
Nah. In a normal Uber daily life, unless you do long hours, you'll probably do about 100, 120 miles, maybe a bit more. Unless you live in, you know, in sort of the bigger cities, then obviously you do a little bit more.
So it's been interesting getting all the information related to EV. I have to say, you've got me hooked, kind of. What are my next steps?
Well, that was the goal, Tabriz, to at least hook you and hopefully some other drivers. So if you are interested in going to an EV, we have a variety of ways we can help you. But first, it's about finding the right vehicle, right? So we have our vehicles marketplace. I'm not sure if all drivers are aware, but that's where we host our exclusive Uber deals. Definitely check out that website and in-app to be able to see what the options are available for you. We also have a variety of test drives available with our partners. So would recommend, you know, trying out different vehicles, seeing what suits you. Test drives are really a good way to get a feel for different EVs. Would also think about, you know, when you're looking at EVs, what product category are they eligible for? We talked about a lot of the EVs that are out there right now are actually comfort eligible, which will provide additional earnings opportunities. And then I'd also say we have a lot of education opportunities for drivers that are interested in learning more. So as we've mentioned many times today, MTIAZ is one of our famous EV ambassadors. We have sessions called Go Electric Sessions. They're webinars that drivers are welcome to sign up for to learn more myth busting.
How often do you have the webinars?
We have them every few weeks.
So I've seen them. I've seen them.
Yeah. Quite frequently. They're really educational. And there's an opportunity to talk to drivers like MTIAZ. So you're not just hearing from, you know, Uber employees like me, who might not know the realities of driving with Uber. MTIAZ and the rest of our EV ambassadors are really breaking it down for you, which I think is quite helpful. That I'd also say there are various options if you're not necessarily ready to make the jump into purchasing an EV. We have various rental and rent to buy options that are kind of, you know, you can graduate into ownership if you're not quite fully sold yet. So there are a lot of options for trying it out, and would definitely recommend taking a look.
Can I just add, Britt, on that? Some of the drivers, they can't actually buy the EV outright because of their credit history or whatever. So the options within Uber is that you actually go there and you go to a rent-to-buy scheme where they don't go through a credit history necessarily. So that is an option for a lot of drivers, that if they have a poor credit history, they can actually go to one of these companies and say, look, I want to buy this particular EV. What's the cost of it for me in terms of how much do I outlay initially and what's the weekly cost?
It's interesting because there is loads of options and hopefully, you know, I'm sold.
True or false?
Now we're moving on to my favorite part of this show. It's true or false. I read out a statement and you just tell me whether it's true or false. Quite simple, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Sounds like it.
So on today's show, the statement is, it is impossible to unlock the diamond tier with Uber Pro.
Is that
true or false?
That's definitely false. We have an ex-diamond tier driver in this room, so I know it's false. We have about 15,000 diamond drivers across the UK right now, and about 3,000 drivers reach the diamond tier every 3 months. So for example, in Birmingham Tabriz, there's about 1,300 diamond drivers right now. Wow. So definitely it is possible. MTIAZ here has actually unlocked diamond tier himself before. He's currently a platinum driver, but maybe MTIAZ, you can talk a bit about how you unlocked it.
Yeah, nothing is impossible. It is difficult, but it is possible. And I've done it, you know, and I'm very much a part-timer, you know, so I don't do Uber full-time. I do 3 or 4 hours in the mornings.
Oh, did you utilize, obviously, the early hours where you're getting...
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's like working, you know, like I said earlier on, you work smarter rather than harder. It's the same on Uber Pro. If you want to get diamond, you work smarter and you make use of those 3 points for every trip that you do between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Cheeky, that is.
As MT has mentioned, it's obviously not meant to be easy. It is about 700 to 800 trips needed in a 3 month period. And it'd also be difficult to make it without completing trips within the peak hours that MT has mentioned. But it is a loyalty program and we want to reward the most loyal drivers and the ones who keep, you know, that quality criteria to achieve their diamond tier.
Uber kindness.
Moving on to Uber kindness, it's where I read out a story or a moment that took place during a ride. On today's episode, we're speaking about a driver named Kartike. He had a job on the way to the pickup. He noticed somebody lying on the floor, unconscious. So thinking quickly, he stopped his car and got out and noticed that the heartbeat of the person on the floor was dropping dramatically. Instinctively, he took out his phone and dialed 999 and called for assistance. If he hadn't stopped, the person possibly could have lost their life. And luckily, he thought instinctively, the ambulance arrived and they were able to help the person. And even though he lost the opportunity of an earning, he says it wasn't about that. The person's life was more important. And he definitely went above and beyond. And we need more people like that in the world. So hats off to you, sir.
That's amazing. I mean, I love to hear those stories. I mean, Uber drivers really doing the most and going above and beyond.
And MTS, you probably see a lot of things every day. And that's the beauty of this job. You know, that feeling.
It's so pleasing. It's so pleasing.
That feeling that you get.
You think, I've done something right. I've been a good Samaritan, you know. Yeah. It's quite nice.
And even if you don't get the recognition for it.
I'm not one of those recognition
you're like
people.
I'll do it
for the sake of that person and make sure that they're okay. It's not about recognition for me. Not at all.
MTS, thank you for being part of this show. You're the second driver on this show.
Wow.
Ask me who the first one is.
You.
I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
It's been really good. Really interesting, you know, my journey in with Uber, and I'm really enjoying it, you know.
It's been a pleasure having you. Just before you go, I need you to rate this show, as you do your customers. So what are you rating the show?
Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I've got to think about it.
If you want to be back on again, you know what to give me.
Five?
It's got to be a five. You know it's got to be a five. And moving on to Britt, thank you for being part of this show. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, because I certainly have. How has your experience been?
My experience is great. This is a lot of fun. Getting to talk to a lot of drivers about one of my favorite topics. So I hope to be back, and I hope you enjoyed the discussion.
We'll definitely have you back on soon. And before I let you go, what are you rating it?
That's as much hesitation as MTS. I'll give you a 5-star. This is pretty great.
Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. If you have any feedback, any questions, or any suggestions, then please do email us in. The email address is driverpodcastuk@gmail.com. All that's left for me to say, and it is a change, drive green, everybody, drive green.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Wheel by Uber UK.